Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out as they make their way through comedy and life and everything in between. I am Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, yeah, I know it was a good weekend when you needed an extra day before we recorded the podcast, when you needed an extra recovery day.
I did need an extra recovery day.
I know it was a good weekend for Dwight.
It may have been because of a very deluxe grilled cheese sandwich I made for myself the night before, because of the binge drinking for the second weekend in a row. But who knows?
Yeah, let's not bury the lead. Let's talk about this grilled cheese sandwich. What made it deluxe?
Ever hear of butter? I accidentally put too much butter in the pan, and instead of like dumping the excess, I was just like, "Fuck it," and I put my bread down, and then pepper jack cheese, white cheddar cheese, and American cheese, and just let it get nice and toasty. You know how the bread gets that like perfect crust on it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's when you know. And it's so melty, and I downed it, and then I woke up, and I was like, maybe at 37, I shouldn't be treating my body like this.
Did you also eat this at like 1 a.m. or something?
It was late.
It was late. Today's episode of the podcast brought to you by Lactaid. One of our reverse sponsorships. Dwight's been spending some money on Lactaid, and here we are.
We are drowning.
All the good stuff. Well, that sounds mighty tasty, sir. I'm glad that you had that. I'm sorry that it hurt you, though. But, you know, that's what life's about, you know?
And thank you for your understanding. We're a day late, and Matt was like, cool.
Yeah, I understand. I did think it was because I saw your post from 10,000 Laughs and looked like you were having a great time up there. Not surprising. It's a great festival. And also streets, heard it from the streets that you crushed opening for Beth Selling.
So that's nice. So this time I didn't even text you to tell you like I did last week.
Yeah.
So the streets are talking. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I like that you had a little restraint. You just now have the confidence. You're like, I don't need to text Matt directly to tell him how good I did. He'll hear about it.
You know what's funny is that these were very short sets at this festival. So my set for Beth was 8 minutes. So it was like over. I like started feeling good, and then I got the light, and then I was wrapping up, and then I got the light again. You know? How you doing? 110 minutes.
Yep. The Dwight special.
The Dwight special. Running the light can't be just Dwight running the light. Yeah. It's just a me thing, right?
Yeah. You're the only comic ever in the history to ever. You and Todd Glass. You're the two.
I read his book and I was like, I can do this.
Yep.
I can do this. But it was fun. It went so quick. I know a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I got to get these 10-minute sets together. And I did. And I should have been working on a 8-minute set and not a 10-minute set.
Did you not? Oh, so you had 10 minutes at Milwaukee, or did you not know that these were only going to be 8?
I didn't know what the set times were on either festival, to be honest. Gotcha. Until like you get there.
Right.
And then they sent out a Slack and they're like, just assume you're doing 7 minutes. And I was like, that's like one story for me. I'm very long winded.
Yes. Yeah.
If you can't tell. If you've never listened to me do one single joke, it's usually between 7 minutes and an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I build out my premises. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you go and you do what you're supposed to do, which is kill in front of a willing audience. They were great. It's like the thing we talk about where everything just comes together and you just go up and do the thing that you've been doing for over a decade.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fun, man. It was fun. I didn't see a bad set, and I was watching. I was looking. I was on the hunt for one. I was like, this one's going to be rough. But I mean, they do a great job. There's a reason they're one of the top festivals in the country. And it's because the audience trusts that no matter what showcase they go to, that it's going to be good.
Right. So
they do it a little bit different than Limestone. Like Limestone has headliner shows. And 10,000 Laughs has that as well, but a lot of their shows are just showcases. And they're, you know, they're, I think the lightest one I attended was at Comedy Corner Underground, that basement bar.
Yep.
And it still felt good. I think there were probably 20 people in there. And then once the comics fill it in,
yeah,
that's
that's
a
all you
good
need.
room. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
well, right on, man. I'm glad you had a good time up there. And
yeah.
Did Megan come with you again for this one or no?
No, she has a real career, so she can't gallivant off 2 weekends in a row. But
yeah.
But I went to the Mall of America with David Brooks, who had a great set that I watched, and Rand Barnicle and a couple other comics. And we just walked around the mall for, I don't know what 17,000 steps is, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of steps, dude.
Yeah, I've been there one time just to kind of see it, and it really was ridiculous. Like, it's
yeah,
like my thought about it was like it's so big that I want there to just be like a smaller, like regular size mall in it somewhere that I can go into. I can go into like a smaller mall, like one of the wings is just a regular mall that I can go into.
Just a regular just Simon Mall.
Yeah, like a regular, you know. Like, you know, I don't need all that. I don't need the theme park. I don't need like 14 different lids, you know, stores.
There's so many lids.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a hat driven economy there. And, you know, it's all good.
A lot of shoe stores.
A lot of shoe stores. Yeah. There's a wedding chapel there. I did see that when I was there. Yep. You could get married at the Mall of America.
There's the Mall of America store.
You can get all of your Mall of America merch at the Mall of America store. They also have a comedy club in there, which I've heard is like always like people talk about it's like doing comedy in New York in Times Square, where that a lot of the time people in the audience don't even speak English. Like, they're international tourists who are just looking to get off their feet.
Right.
So it's very similar to like the Times Square comedy clubs. I'm trying to think, what's the one that's right? Is it New York Comedy Club? There's one that's right off of Times Square. It's been around. Broadway Comedy Club.
Broadway Comedy Club's there. New York Comedy Club's there.
Yeah. Where it's just
in Times Square, but.
Yeah. But where it's just like, yeah, just I people. Mean,
Caroline's bags, is right there. Yeah.
Shopping bags. I mean, Caroline's is different. I'm talking about like the ones where people get barked in, you know, which is Broadway, definitely Broadway Comedy Club. You know,
oh, yeah.
They got comics out there barking people in who literally are just looking for air conditioning, heat, and somewhere to sit down. You know, like, they just want to get out of fucking New York City for a minute.
That's
so they
it.
Sit down. And that's what I've heard, like, the Comedy Club Mall of America is a lot of times.
It's on the top level, so I imagine it's more like a casino where that hosts comedy. Where people have spent too much money by the time they get to the top, and they're just pissed off. I guess I'll go to a comedy show.
Yeah, maybe.
I've lost my mortgage.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have all those hotels that are right around the Mall of America, too. So I guess in theory, if you were looking for something to do and you didn't want to drive into the cities, it's an option. You could just walk back across the street to the mall again and go to, you could either go to a movie, or you could go ride the roller coasters, or you can go see a comedy show. So who knows? I don't know.
It's a sad place. After the first hour, you're like, this is just a bigger place that holds stores. That's what a mall is. And it's still a mall.
Yeah, it's not as magical as you thought it was. Yeah.
Not at this point.
Well, that sounds like you had a great weekend, though. Like, did all the things, man. It's all good.
I do want to shout out Ben Katzner and his wife came to the Beth Selling show. Then we hung out a little while after, said they listened to the podcast. Or he listened to a podcast. No. I'm not sure if he makes his wife listen.
Ben,
be better, Ben.
Ben, if you're in the car with your wife right now making her listen to this podcast, just turn it off.
I know.
Yeah, we appreciate it. But man, this is not a thing to be forced onto spouses.
You ain't going to make it. I don't know. He said he's going to send in a question. And it sounds like he hasn't done that yet. So stop procrastinating and send it in, Ben.
Well, he's probably recovering from, 10,000 laughs and all like that good stuff. Yeah.
If he had a grilled cheese like me, take the week.
It is grilled cheese season. I mean, like, there's probably a lot of people out there enjoying it right now. And hopefully they just don't fly too close to the butter sun like you did.
Take it easy on the butter. Use a spray.
Yeah.
Have some self-control.
if someone out there does want to submit a question, they can always do that through our Gmail account, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. We did not have a question of the week, but I do have a topic of the week that I wanted to talk about. Before I do that, I will fill you in a little bit on my weekend. I was in your favorite place, Michigan.
Michigan!
I know love how it. Much you love it. You love it so much. Oh, let me back up for a second. Actually, we did a fun Don't Tell show in Bloomington. It was our first one back in a while. First one of the autumn season. Andrew Rudick came over and headlined that. We had Connor Delahanty on it. Sohail Ali making his Don't Tell debut, as well as Laura Stockwell, who's both Sohail and Laura are newer comics here in the Bloomington scene. So we got them in there, and it's so cool, man. We did it at Backspace Gallery, which we've done before, and we've used that as a venue for Limestone starting last year. But they had gone all out for Halloween and made it like this, like, installation thing.
Yes.
So it was cool and weird, and you had to like kind of go through like a maze to get back to the showroom where we were doing the show.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was cool. It was super well done, and the vibe was really right, and we had a good time. Kind of a smaller show, like when they had about 25 people or so, mm-hmm. Which is on the smaller side for the Don't Tells, but still, like, again, in that space, and everybody wanted to be there. It was a hot one. It was like, it was good. Yeah,
that's fun.
It was a ton of fun.
Give me Small and Mighty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the numbers.
Any day of the week. Yeah, for sure.
Unless you're trying to pay people, then give me mediocre and large people that paid tickets.
Well, that's the nice thing about those hotels is money's the same. So, but yeah, so we did that. And then I had Friday off, just chilled with the wife and hung out. And then Saturday, I was in your favorite place, Michigan, in Ludington, Michigan, at Timbers Prime. I had asked you, I did text you this weekend.
Yeah.
Asking if you remembered whether or not the place fed the comics or whatever.
I had no.
You couldn't remember. You said you didn't remember. Yeah. So I just want to let everybody know they do. They do feed the comics, and it's like a high end steak place. So you should take advantage of the food. I, of course, had stopped like an hour before to get something to eat. So I was literally, the owner kept going like, well, I can, you know, what about this? And I was just like, I'm so full. I don't want.
Oh no! Anything.
So I just got to watch the opener eat like an amazing steak.
Porterhouse,
like, yeah. Just like I was like, all right, cool. But yeah, man, it was one of those things. That's a two-man show. It's in the back room of a restaurant. It's like in their event space. It's pretty much sold out. There wasn't really, and maybe a couple empty seats here and there, but it's packed. You know, it's one of those towns where there's nothing to do. There's this monthly comedy show, so they all pack out. Mm-hmm. There was two tables of like fairly drunk white women in their 40s and 50s who were there for a girls' weekend. They're all from Detroit, and they were all wearing ridiculous shirts. Like one of the shirts just said like "I heart anal," and like, you know, like basically bold. Like, and I, from what I understood, is like they picked shirts for each other to wear out in public on their Saturday night out.
Yeah. And she didn't, you're telling me she didn't pick her own that. I heart anal shirt?
Well, you know, like maybe this, her friends know her so well that they knew that that was the right shirt for her. You know?
She do love it. She put it on like happily.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, oh, you guys just know me so much.
It's in exactly the right size, which isn't always the case. but the opener, of course, like they're all sitting right in the front row. So the opener commented on one of their shirts, like, oh, that's a crazy ass shirt. And that's all it took. And then they were just, because there was an announcement at the beginning about, hey, don't talk during the show, all that kind of stuff. And then they were part of the show now because the comic could talk to them.
Yep.
And he did a good job of like, the opener was Sean Shank out of the South Bend area, Northern Indiana, Southern Michigan area. He did a good job of kind of not, like kind of handling them and getting away from it and getting back into his material. And he does kind of long form stories too. So there wasn't actually a lot of opportunities for them to kind of chirp up too much. Although they kept trying a little bit here and there.
Right.
But when I got up there, I didn't try to engage them, but I just tried to get into material, but I wound up spending a good amount of my set having to deal with them because they're also getting progressively drunk. So by the time I get up there to headline, you know, Sean's doing 30. Right. And so that's another 30 minutes. That's another couple of wine, you know, glasses of wine that they've chugged, you know. And so, yeah. And so it was one of those things where they were good natured, like they weren't being shitty. But they were like commenting on setups.
Yeah.
You know, just chirp, chirp, chirp. And like you could tell the rest of the audience was getting pissed off at them. And so it's that weird thing where you're trying to like jingle the keys for them, like, okay, I'm going to get you under control for a second. and then try to play to the whole room. But it was like, it really was like I was doing two shows at once.
Yep.
And at no point was everyone in the room happy.
Right. You know? You're dealing with drunk white noise, and it's very distracting for everyone around.
Exactly.
And the comic, you know, the comic in you recognizes and feels that, but you also know that if you don't deal with this, it can go off the train tracks completely.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, it's like you've seen the movie Flight.
Yes, I just saw the first opening 20 minutes of it again lately. Flight with Denzel. Hell yeah.
Yeah, where Denzel, he has to land the plane upside down, and it's not ideal, but he does it. People are like, how the hell did you do that?
He doesn't land it upside down. He flies it upside down like a big section of it, and then he has to flip it at the very end, and they take off the top of that church. No symbolism there, huh?
He doesn't land it upside down, but he's upside down for a good portion.
Yeah, for most of that flight, he's upside down, which is exactly how you have to do it when this is the situation. You know, and it's one of those things too where I got some big laughs out of dealing with them for the whole room, right? And I wasn't being overly mean. You know, I dunked on them a couple of times when it was just so obvious. And it was like one of them, there was one that was mainly the problem, but it wasn't her. There was another one sitting like behind her that I was just like, what about you guys? Are you guys like with her or blah, 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 or something like that? And one just goes, we're identical twins, and points to the woman sitting next to her. And I just like literally in the moment just said, are you identical if you have to tell people? Like, is that the classification? Which was literally just a comment off the top of my head. But for some reason, that leveled that, like the people in the room thought that was the most clever thing they ever heard. And I was just like, oh, baby, that was just me. Like, that was me just throwing like.
Shout out to Michigan.
Like, just whatever. Like, they were like, oh my God, which was weird. But, we got through it. It's fine. You know, people bought some merch. Some people came up and said some nice things, you know, like they liked the show, even though it was weird, you know?
Yeah. We gotta like get some merch that's like I Heart Facials. DTF just in all caps and different. Can I ask you a genuine question?
Sure.
Why, if you live in Detroit, are you having your girls' weekend in Ludington, Michigan, where there's like two restaurants? It's like you said, there's nothing to do. Like everybody like gets a babysitter and goes to the comedy show for the big night out. This doesn't compute with me.
I don't know. Like, cause it's not even that close to the lake. It's kind of on the lake. Ludington is kind of, it's close to the lake. So I didn't want to ask, but my assumption was that they just had like an Airbnb or something on the lake.
October. And so what are we doing by the lake?
You're taking like pensive Instagram selfies wearing like a big sweater. You know, you're there in front of the winter lake, but you got your big sweater, your big scarf on, and your cup of hot tea, you know, and you're just like staring into the sunset, like very thoughtfully, you know.
I just don't think of Ludington as an anal loving town. That lady probably didn't have the best weekend. This is rough.
Oh, you'd be surprised. No, I don't. but no, that was my weekend. It was just a quick one. We had the don't tell them we had that. And so yeah, it was, you know, it was fine. But I was thinking about how furious you would have been and how much you would have hated it.
did that give you like when if I would have seen those people walk in, like in any other state, I'd have just been okay. But the fact that it's in Michigan would have sent me off the edge of a cliff.
Well, I think it's because you still have pride and dignity, and I've just given up at this point. I'm like, yeah, this is what my career is. I get up and I dance for the drunks, you know. Like you're still thinking this is art.
Like an idiot.
Yeah,
Idiot. I'll go to Ludington for a free steak.
I was gonna say I definitely fucked up. I should have gotten one to go, but then I was also. It's like didn't have a way to keep it well, you know, have it in my car and my car smelling like steak, you know, and like there's a lot going on there. before we get into the topic that I wanted to discuss, though, let's take a look forward at our shows coming up this week. Dwight, what do you have going on?
Thursday, October 19th, Googman House Brewing Company in Indianapolis. Secret guests on that show, 7:30 it starts. Tickets are online. Or at the door. Googman House has great beer. If you're in Indianapolis, come to it. And then On that Saturday, what's that, the 21st? Guess where I am?
Michigan.
Bay City, Michigan, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bay City, Michigan. Reed Brewing Company.
Okay.
Be doing about 45 to 50 minutes of stand-up comedy back in Michigan. And tune in next week to hear all about it. I'm sure I'll have opinions.
You know, I did see that Bay City was named the number one place for Girls Weekend. So hopefully...
Hey, Bay Bay City.
They'll have the same thing. Well, my week looking forward is, strangely enough, I also have a show on the 19th at Goodman House Brewing in Indianapolis.
You can tell.
So weird. Yeah. So I will be on that show. I'm on Dwight's show. Thank you, Dwight, for having me on your show. I did post about it and apparently sold two tickets already. So
that's
people say brilliant. Social media doesn't work, but I posted on Facebook, which is where people my age still hang out.
Yeah.
And someone's like, I can't find the ticket link. It's not on the Goodman website. And so then I posted the ticket link. And they're like, okay, we'll see you there. Which I soon meant that they bought tickets. I now am realizing as I say it out loud, like, oh, that's not verification.
Okay.
Like they didn't send me a screen grab of the receipt, you know.
They weren't like another step.
Yes.
Yep. See you there.
Oh, no sure. kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
They don't put the tickets on their site, but they're on DwightSimmons.com or on Eventbrite if you search for Googman House.
And also on my website on MadelanaMartinComedy.com. All of those words has a hyphen in between it. It's probably easier just to Google my name. That'll get you there. So I'll be there on Thursday on the 19th. On the 20th, I'll be in Converse, Indiana at Imagine Burgers, a new comedy show there that I think is going to be a monthly. But I'll be closing that out with a 30-minute set. And then on Saturday on the 21st, just fell into my lap. I will be doing two shows in LaPorte, Indiana with Kyle Kinane as part of their fundraiser for, I think it's called Big Comedy LaPorte, which has Ben Conowitz and a few other people put this on. They put on, I think, one or two comedy shows a year up there, and it's always a fundraiser. This fundraiser is for the Boys and Girls Club of LaPorte, Indiana, an organization close to my heart. Sure. And yeah, so I had to bail on another show to take this one. But not only is it great to get to do a small theater and to open for Kyle Kinane, but also the money is like ridiculously so much better than the thing that I was going to be doing, the one night I was going to be doing. And so I had to cancel. And I did reach out to people because I wanted to just hand the booker. Like, I can't do it, but these people are available.
Yeah,
that's true. Everyone I reached out to was unavailable. And then when I posted the Kinane thing, somebody did go, oh shit, were you offering me that Kinane gig? And I was like, no, I was not. Yes, I begrudgingly, oh God, I guess I'll do it. They couldn't do it. I guess I'll do it. I mean, I would offer someone the Kinane gig if I couldn't do it. You know, like, I got asked to open for Kevin Nealon while I was in Alaska and I couldn't do it. And so I hooked, you know, Connor Delahenty and Kelly Collette up with that. It was two shows, two different dates.
Right.
You know, I'm more than happy to pass along the good hookup, but I mean, you know.
Nah. No, not this one.
I'll do this one. I'll do this one.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it next time.
I got
time.
You. That's exciting. I love Kyle, his new, I just saw him in Milwaukee. He's going to make it. He might just make it. That kid.
That
kid might just make it. I've never heard of Converse, Indiana, and I've been traveling through this state for a very long time.
Yeah, so it was first
did they make up
is...
a new place?
No, it's real. It's on the Google Maps. So when they first asked me if I wanted to do the show, they said it was in Kokomo. And then Converse is not in Kokomo. It is outside of... It's a good little distance outside of... Kokomo, Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's actively stay away from Kokomo.
Yeah. You're not a fan?
Not a fan of Kokomo.
Okay. What
there was a Kokomo there was a do? Guy that ran a club, or not a club, just a room.
Oh, I think I remember this. Wait.
Yeah. It was like upstairs of like a mega entertainment complex. And it was like supposed to be like a VIP lounge and shit. And it was really weird.
Yeah.
And yeah. So. And oddly racially charged, not at me, but like between black people and white people, like the show was 50-50. And it was like, I think if I had to sell another race joke, like some shit might pop off.
Okay.
So I was like, I didn't know Kokomo was like this.
Yeah.
segregated.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, for those of you that are wondering, Converse, Indiana is about 30 minutes outside of Kokomo. And, you know, it's out there by Amboy. It's by Sweetser. It's by Swayze,
All the hot towns.
Yeah, apparently there's a town in Indiana called Sims. Yeah, the shoe town. It's over there by the video game town. Yeah. So if you want a wild road trip, come on out Friday night to Converse, Indiana.
Spend your girls' weekend fucking up match show in Converse, Indiana. Bring your best joke t-shirts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bring your best novelty clotheswear. Yeah, that's a word. Yeah.
Yep. It's all right. You've had a lot of dairy. I know. It's fine.
Heavily caffeinated.
Well, here's the topic that before I get to the topic that I wanted to talk about, I did want to give one quick shout out to Scott Curtis. He posted a very funny thing on, he's rebranded his podcast to Pod Around It and Find Out. And he is tackling social media, and he posted a very funny TikTok. So everybody should go to Pod Around and Find Out on TikTok, follow them. And then he did one that was basically a sketch. He made a sketch out of something that we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah.
About comedians and the algorithm for social media. And so it was very clever and very funny. So thank you, Scott, for taking inspiration from us. And our lawyers will be in touch.
We're changing the landscape one bitter comedian at a time. Thank you, Scott.
And it also plays perfectly into what I want to talk about, which is I had this conversation with a comic that lives in a major market that I'm friends with. And I think I had brought it up, but they were quick to weigh in on this. Obviously so much of comedy success now is coming from social media. And it's people posting primarily crowd work clips. I mean, if I would have been recording while I was working with these white women, I'd be famous right now. You guys have been crazy. But probably
man
not.
Takes down I Heart Anal Woman.
Yes, exactly.
That is a million views easy.
Yeah. But I'm seeing a lot of like big comics. Like I just saw a clip from Pete Holmes talking with Sam Jay about this, how they're grousing about how audiences are getting more chatty because everyone keeps posting these vids, these reels of them doing crowd work and quote unquote owning hecklers and whatever. You know, it's mostly it's less of the owning heckler thing now. That's kind of gone by. You know, it's now just straight up crowd work clips. The thing that I thought about is it also makes the show that you're watching worse, because mm-hmm. the person I was talking to that lives in this major market, they were talking about you'll be at a paid showcase show. And someone will spend their entire 10-minute set just doing crowd work in an attempt to get reels. They're fully trying to just, maybe some magic will happen. I'll get a reel. Maybe somebody will throw a beer at me and I'll get to be on Kimmel. You know, they're just like, and so what they're doing is they're sacrificing the actual show that they're on for hopes of a payoff later on down the road if something happens and they get it on tape.
Yep.
If they get some kind of magic, or if they just like, I need to constantly be cranking out content and feeding the content monster.
Right.
And so it's really making for shows to be worse. And I feel like audiences in the room are paying the price,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, like myself and Sean, neither one of us were taping. Neither one of us were trying to get reels. We were just trying to manage a situation, you know?
Yeah.
We weren't going around at no point did either one of us like, what do you do for a living? What did you go do? You know, like that kind of shit. But it really is this thing where there's two sides to it too, because not only are we now kind of shitting on the audience, people who are doing this have no respect for the audience in the room that paid the ticket price.
Right.
You know, but also I saw, you know, another, you know, big comic, and this just came up on my TikTok as like a little, you know, suggested reel, but it was, you know, problematic comedian Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. In a recent interview, but he was talking about everyone is just focusing on this on their cell phone mm-hmm. and on that version of stand up that people are not. He's like, I haven't seen anybody become really great. It's like you just mm-hmm. see people grinding and then they work up way up and then like people are popping and you're like, oh shit, I haven't seen that person in 2 months. And they just, because everyone's working on crowd work and reels and characters and sketches. It's like the focus isn't so much on the stand-up anymore. It's on this other thing. is create his thing was talking about straight up creating content for social media, taking the front seat and stand up taking mm-hmm. the back seat is bad for people's overall career and overall, well, not career, monetarily, it might be better for them to do what they're doing, but just as the art form.
Right.
That they're not as good comics, which just makes sense. If you focus all of your time and energy into shooting little sketches and editing and clipping it up and all that kind of stuff, and you're not writing, mm-hmm. you're not going to be a great comic. But also, being a great comic doesn't get you paid these days.
True. It's like, what do you want? Yeah. Like, it's, there's so few people ever, this isn't new, that have wanted to be great comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, why would that change now? Like, why would, I guess I don't understand, like, why people would all of a sudden want to become great comics when it's easier than ever just to not do that. Like, you don't, like, especially in big markets, like, people aren't going to care. Comics aren't going to care if they burn through audience,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, stand-up comedy is a selfish venture. And I think in the moment you're like, all right, I can just, once I get to a certain level by doing these crowd work clips or like these sketches and all this shit, then I can like focus on my stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking trap. It's a trap. And you see comics that I've opened up for, some comics that get big off of crowd work, and then, you know, between shows, they're wondering why they have to work so hard to keep the crowd in check. Literally, the best thing one of these comics can do is build their set around the crowd work to keep the audience happy if you're really trying to like work on stuff. But I, you know, what Louis said is true. I agree with him in every aspect of his career and life, and no notes. But like, I've said the same thing. It's like, earlier this year when I had to take a break from social media, is because I felt like I was just writing bits like for clips.
Mm-hmm.
You grind so long to try to get stuff to send to bookers, and then when the goalpost moves to like, oh, we'll only look at your email if you have X amount of followers, it's hard not to just get caught up in that.
Right.
Like, I can fire off like, hey, I've done all this stuff. Here's some real life references from clubs, and I've been doing it X amount of time. Like, but how many followers do you have? And so there's this like real battle that the audience ends up paying the price for. So the shows are going to be worse because, like you said, the audience is going to be more chirpy.
Mm-hmm.
Not every comic wants to deal with that.
Right.
And now it's becoming a skill that you have to like, you have to have, man. You got to be on your toes mm-hmm. every fucking show. And it didn't used to be like that. It used to be something where you had to like pull it out of your toolkit every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like, it's like improv, dude. It's like, all right, I'm going to take a suggestion from the audience. If I don't get one, I'm just going to ask, what do you do for a living? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to make fun of your shirt.
Yeah.
Or, did you see the SNL sketch they did of like little white kids, starting stand up in like Def Jam style?
No.
So fucking funny.
All right.
So, like, it's an interracial couple. I know he ain't hitting that, right? shit like that. It's like, it's so, I think the only thing that can lessen or like quote unquote save us from this is if the audience starts to devalue that level of, they get bored of it.
Right. Which I think is going to happen, because what another side of this coin is, there is an A room that we're both familiar with, and it's just, it's an A room across the country. Everybody knows mm-hmm. anyone in the business knows this room. And they recently had a headliner, and I was not there that weekend, but I was talking to people who were. And this headliner is a younger comic who got famous through social media, through doing like crowd work. Mm-hmm. And this club's audience, though, is used to high level comedy.
Right.
They're not used to. And this person isn't so famous that they brought out their own crowd. So they got just a regular ass weekend crowd at mm-hmm. this club, who were sitting there waiting for jokes.
Yeah.
And there were no jokes. There was just a lot of talking and some basic premises, apparently, and a lot of like attempts at crowd work.
Yeah.
And this crowd wasn't there for that. They're like, no, we come here to hear you talk to us about your life, or, you know, like, we don't, you know, it was like, and so I got reports both nights that they were there. They did a couple shows, you know, four shows or whatever. And they were like, yeah, it was like polite laughter was about all they got, you know, because it's like, there's that side of it too. If you don't have an act, you don't have jokes. If you have an act, you know, you can go in and you just, you know, we've both done the thing where we've gone into rooms where they don't really like us. They don't like our jokes, but you just stay in your lane and do it and you break them, you crack them.
Yeah.
Or it's a tough room, it's a competitive room, or it's a chirpy room or whatever, and you get them shut down enough and you just start hammering with the jokes. You know, it's like you were talking about on the last episode about that guy that just yelled at you as soon as you walked on stage and you just ignored him and he eventually stopped.
Yeah.
You know, because you had an act, you had jokes, you had things to fall back on. And so I hope that the trend peters out and that, you know, like, we just go back to people coming because they want to hear us talk. I mean, I love the, you know, speaking of Kinane, I do love a reel that he posted where he's shitting on this whole trend of, like,
oh, it's so good. Stuff, yeah.
Where he's just like, I think it was taped at the Helium in Indy too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. I was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is brilliant.
It's so great. And so for people that don't know the clip I'm referencing, he's talking about every comic is doing crowd work now. Sorry, it's my Kinane. It's like,
if he hears this, like, you're not opening for him Saturday.
I think he will find that a very flattering. I mean, I just make him sound like Tom Waits. It's mine. No. So, but he just goes up to a person in the audience. He's like, oh, okay, we'll do some crowd work. He's like, you there, you asked me what I do for a living. So he's the guy in the audience. Yeah. Asks Kinane what he does for a living. He's like, I'm a comedian. Let's go. All right, here we go.
Crowd work.
Yeah.
It is like, you know, some people are good at social media.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are good at stand up, and the ultra rare people that we respect are good at both, or they have mm-hmm. teams.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be able to tell a joke. Like, this is the one thing that can keep you on track, like, and like give you control back of the room, because not everybody wants to come to a Q&A, dude. Like,
exactly. Yeah. You gotta have, you know, the old adage of, like, you know, if you take care of your act, it'll take care of you, you know? And that was said kind of in an old timey way of, like, by comics who never turned over their act, you know, they really tweaked it over 25 years. They really honed it for an entire quarter of a century.
Yeah.
But I think it's still true. And like what we do, where we do turn over hours and stuff like that, if you really put the love and the work into that, and it's something you believe in and you are working on it, you know, I think that shit, I mean, having jokes in my back pocket, and different types of jokes and stuff that I could shift gears with has saved me a lot of times. It's turned a mediocre show into a good show, or even a great show, because I was able to adapt and adjust, which, again, like, if I was trying to do crowd work and it went south, or they weren't there for it, or, again, you're at the Mall of America and no one in the audience speaks English.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do crowd work, you know, or they don't speak it that well, you know, Yeah, man, it's definitely a weird thing. But I just was thinking about the side of it of it came from when I was talking to the people who were at that A room that saw the headliner just get polite laughs. I was like, oh, that audience, we're probably thinking, man, that's one of the worst shows that we've ever seen at this club, you know. And then when I was talking to my friend in the major market, the same thing, where they were talking about, you just see everyone just being like, OK, you know, I guess this is just the thing that we came to, you know. It's like,
The show can't be that good. It's like going to see a celebrity, like, ever. Like, it's like, unless they started in stand up and been working on it, then you just went to see T.I. do an open mic set for 45 minutes. You know, I heard he's getting better, BT Dubs, but, like, how many audience do you have to run through? It's a, like, I don't know. It's different just because, like, if a quote unquote big name headliner is working on an hour and you go in knowing that a little bit, like, oh, I'm going to see Chris Rock in Indianapolis. It's not going to be polished, but he's good enough to present it. versus I got famous from TikTok with heavily edited videos, and now I just booked 50 dates, and now I got to figure out a way to fill 40 minutes. There's just no way that can be a good show. It just can't be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I don't even think it has to be to the level of Chris Rock. I think even guys at our level, when we're working on new hours, we have enough respect for the craft that we're not going to bring a brand new, like just an amoeba of a premise to a paid show. You know, I'm not saying you can't riff and kind of, you know, if you're having a good one, it's going, things are going well, and you get, all right, I got him. I could take a little detour for a second. Nope. All right, cool. Let's get back to some material. Or sometimes you take that detour and you're like, oh, that was good. That hit and that was funny. And
let's
live
here for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do identical twins have to tell people? You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then put that merch out, and then that's gonna, you know, not gonna sell. But
right. Would you be more okay with people posting organic crowd work versus the forced stuff? Do you think that, because crowd work, like from a person that doesn't watch a lot of stand-up, probably just looks like crowd work. Like it doesn't look like forced versus organic. Yeah. Does that help the problem? Like it's like, all right, something interesting did happen naturally. Is that helping or is that?
Well, I think here's the problem with it is the big thing that we've not even said yet about it, which is amazing crowd work is amazing. When you see Jimmy Pardo or you see Sam Talent or you see Tig Notaro, who does it in a very different way, you see people who are very good at it. It's amazing because it's something that's happening organically in the room. Even if he's not talking to you, the comic's not talking to you. It's just like, holy shit, they just whipped that out of their ass and it was funny and it's so good. Right.
Yeah.
But again, they're in the minority. And most of us are, if we build that tool for our toolkit, we're okay at it. We might find something funny, but I think just any crowd work at this point, any crowd work filtered through social media is all seen as the same,
right?
Which is, it's not even comedy. It's like, oh, it's a crazy thing happened. You know, and also the thing, also most of the crowd work that I see, and I talk about the good side of crowd work. Let's talk about the bad side of crowd work, is them asking someone in the audience or the audience member says something and it's the comic just going, oh, that's crazy. I love this person. They're crazy. The comic has said nothing humorous. Yep,
right.
They've just reacted. It's the version of the reaction video.
Right.
It's like, this black man has never heard Led Zeppelin. Let's put him on camera and watch as he listens for the first time. How that became an entire genre of YouTube, I don't know. It's so bizarre to me.
A lot of people in the world.
A lot of the crowd work, there's just not, the comic has done nothing, you know, other than maybe prod it along. But any sort of humor to it has just come from the actual person in the audience. And that's where it also gets dangerous. And then people in the audience are thinking like, I get to go be funny at the show. Yell some shit out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know we've complained about this a lot over the course of the podcast, the 50 episodes of the podcast that we've done so far. But it really is I think that we're getting, the reason I wanted to bring it up is too, I was thought about the toll that it takes on an overall show, which we've never looked at it from that perspective. And we've always looked at it from our perspective as comics having to deal with this shit. But I'm now thinking about other people sitting at the other tables. Like, what the fuck, man? I kind of wanted to hear some jokes. I thought we were going to hear jokes.
Right.
You know, not hear about this drunk lady's life, you know?
Yeah.
So is that going to start to have repercussions and make people not want to come out to comedy shows anymore? But then also more and more high profile comics. I mean, Kyle was the first one I saw publicly post a thing about it. But now, like I said, we did see Pete Holmes and Sam Jay talk about it. If more of those people start like shitting on this, are comics going to curb it because they're like, oh, these people I look up to are saying this is bad. Maybe I should stop doing this. Or are they going to just keep chasing that fame, baby? They're going to just like, this is what's where. And also it's not going to work. Like you said, when's the algorithm going to turn?
Yeah.
When are people going to stop watching these clips? And then like, you know, like, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just think these are all the questions.
These are good questions too. And it's like, we make it out to be some new thing and it's not. Like, all sides of this are not new outside of the popularity of crap. Like, we used to be like, why are you posting owned heckler videos when YouTube was the only option? You know what I mean? And now everybody's posting that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like now and that not, it's so and saturated.
Not sending Steve Hofstetter apology letters either.
I know. My man deserves.
It's like you shit on him for years for doing for the thing years. That you're now all doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think so. But like, you still have the upper echelon of fame, people getting booked that posts crowd work. So I think it's just like a battle of, do you want to be the people that want to be really good at stand up are going to find a way out of this cycle? Like,
yeah,
it's really something that is hard. I know we say it a lot, but it's very hard, like day to day, to be patient, to stay patient and just like kind of reflect at just on like the thing you get to do. Like, did you get in this to do crowd work, or did you get into this because you looked up to comics that told jokes and you kind of wanted to replicate that? At least I can't speak for everybody. That's why I got into it. Yeah. I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy that more than going and fighting a battle in Battle Creek. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, sometimes it's about finding your bay and bay harbor,
yeah, bay and you know? Bay City. I'm coming,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah, you're the Bay City. You're the Bay City roller. Look out, baby.
Y'all better act right.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think it bears repeating something that we've talked about on this podcast before, which is a piece of wisdom that Stuart Huff passed down to me, and very early on, which is like, really, what you do on stage is the only part of it that you control at the end. You know, the industry is, you know, can say no to you. You know, everything else, the business side of it, everything else. Some clubs will book you, some clubs won't book you. There's nothing you can really do about that. You know, what you do on stage in your act is really the only thing you have control over. So if you focus on that and that is your priority, then you should be good. Right.
Yeah.
Even if the success doesn't come, if you keep, like, you're still going and doing these like one nighters in Michigan, like, you know, we are, or whatever, for a little bit of money, you know, it's like, well, I'm still doing the thing that I love. I'm still telling these stories and these jokes that I love when I can around handling drunk people, you know?
Right.
Whereas in, you know, the flip side of that, of course, being that if you are obsessed with getting famous and you are spending a year of your life clipping, doing crowd work, and clipping it up and putting it up there and nothing ever hits and the needle doesn't move.
Right.
You just wasted a year, dog.
Yep.
You know, like,
it's not replicable, which is why it's hard. So the year that I've had, like I got seen by a lady that works at the Kurt Vonnegut Museum that was like, hey, do you want to come make some real money to do this gala? Like, getting into festivals and getting into new clubs, it's not because I'm sending crowd work clips. Like, if like that lady saw me at a show just like shitting on audience members, or like, that's not going to get you seen, like, especially in big markets, like, where people do still like pop in to watch actual stand-up comedy. They don't want to see this. Like, develop your act and
Yeah,
use it as a tool. Like, there's nothing wrong with having that tool, but like, develop the act first.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good sort of final thought to kind of wrap everything up on, is like, you got, the act has to come first and the act has to be material, you know, unless you are the rare example of like a Pardo or Sam Talent. But the thing is, even those guys have jokes that they can do.
Yeah.
Even though they're predominantly crowd work, they have an act that they can get to and pull out. And it's good. Like, I always tell Sam this too. I saw Sam, I was at High Plains Labs, High Plains Comedy Festival. The year that his mother had passed away, just like a week before. And he came and he was on the show right before mine at this venue. And he did 10 raw minutes about his mom dying. That was also so funny.
Yeah.
And so beautiful and amazing. And I told him that, and you know, and so he also has that muscle. He can also do that. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, don't be afraid of doing material. Like, yeah. You don't always have to talk about that dude's shirt, you know, which he already knew that, you know, but it was right. Like this, it was an amazing thing. And it just showed me too, also like what a level of an artist he is too. Cause he is known predominantly for just doing crowd work stuff. Yeah. But so it's good to have that tool in there and necessary right now, but focus on the act. And again, as you said, if you're doing your act on stage, when someone pops in to see you, that's what's going to open doors for you, right? Mm-hmm. Because another good example, and again, you're talking about one gig, you know, but who knows who saw you at the Kurt Vonnegut Gala and saw mm-hmm. you perform there, right? It could have ripple effects. Zach Peterson, host of the fantastic podcast No Coast Comedy Club and a fantastic comedian. Mm-hmm. When he was coming through on tour, I had him at Cardinal Spirits. He did material about mental illness and being on psych meds.
Yeah.
And from that set, he got booked to come back and speak at Bloomington TED Talk.
That's amazing.
Which was like a real paycheck and like a real thing and everything. Because they were like, we really love that material. Do you think you could do a full thing about it?
Right.
And so again, if he had been like, what do you do for a living? That not, you know, but
yeah, exactly.
Him being his authentic self, you being your authentic self, because again, it was your stuff about book banning and like education in America mm-hmm. and race, you know, critical race theory and stuff like that. That's what got you the Kurt Vonnegut thing, right?
Right.
So they saw you doing the material you actually give a shit about and that you care about.
Yeah.
And put your heart and soul into.
That resonates with people. Yes,
it does. Yeah. And so, and that's why I've been booked at the Nachos Festival of South America.
Do you know that's probably real?
There's I need to start marketing myself that way. You know,
you should.
I have one joke about nachos. Can I come headline your Nachos Festival?
You can build 45.
I could do 45 minutes on nachos.
Break down that nacho, dude.
No problem. Like,
I was in Milwaukee and we were staying at the same hotel as people that were going to the Cheese Curd Festival. So I'm saying, market for everybody. Be the nacho guy.
What a perfect weekend for Mitchell Potts to be in Milwaukee.
He was a happy boy. Mitchell Potts.
Much love to Mitchell out there, but he does like a good curd. He does a funny man who likes a good curd. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I think it was a good chat. Again, like most of the time, I don't think we solved anything, but we talked about it. We got it out there. We looked at the different sides of this issue. And if you disagree with us, if you think that crowd work in the way that it's being presented on TikTok and Instagram Reels right now is artistic and valid and good and better than actual jokes, let us know. Drop us an email at mattanddwight@gmail.com.
Yep.
It is mattanddwight@gmail.com. We would love to get that from you and then spend an entire episode tearing you a new asshole. So that would be great if you guys could. Or you could just send us a question, comments. We take them all there. You can also rate and review the podcast. Dwight, I think you told me a couple weeks ago that we got a little bump in listenership, so it looks like we're doing okay. I know that Ben and his wife are listening. Is that what you're talking about? We've got two new listeners.
Yeah, we got two new listeners, and it counts as one, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But write some email. Like, I want to hear, like, we can read some road stories. I know a lot of comics listen to this. We can expand it. Send in some funny road stories.
That would be good. Yeah. We'll do a challenge. We'll do a challenge. We did the booking challenge. So this would be a challenge for all the listeners out there. If you want to send in, what should we just say? What's the craziest show that you've done lately? How's that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then we'll read those. We'll read those on an episode of the podcast.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
So it's official. This is when we ran out of ideas and we started crowdsourcing content for our own podcast.
Episode 42, we're expanding our reach and we want to make it more interactive.
We want to make it more about you guys. And then episode 43 will be a best of. And then episode 44 will be a retrospective, which is different than a best of.
It's a retrospective of the best of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where we'll be the next couple of weeks. All right. Thank you everybody for listening. Go and see Dwight. Come and see me. And don't post any crowd work clips.
Please.